The bus to Oak Ridge was packed with other girls June's age, along with a few soldiers and laborers in the back. June had sat in the front by a window to watch the farms and trees pass by, but nerves kept forcing her to look around. The recruiter in Knoxville had pointed the bus out to her, yet she was terrified that she'd gotten on the wrong one. None of the buses in and out of Oak Ridge were labeled because officially the city didn't exist. June had felt sophisticated and grown up this morning, with her hair curled and her mouth painted red, even though she was wearing one of her sister's hand-me-down dresses. She was on her way to her first job, paying 75 cents an hour. Now panic rose up in her belly. Everyone else seemed so calm. How did they know they were headed in the right direction? She looked over at the bus driver, a wide man with a roll of fat at the back of his neck in between his hairline and his shirt collar. She could ask him if she was going to the right place. That's what Mary would do. Mary had no fear of talking to people. June turned to the middle-aged man sitting beside her. His head was tucked into the Knoxville Journal. "Roosevelt makes history," read the large headline, and below, in smaller print, "Elected to record fourth term." Of course, June already knew that. The last time she'd come out this way was 2 years ago to move her grandfather out of his house. Since that afternoon, they'd heard lots of stories about what was happening in Bear Creek Valley. The army had built a city, folks said. Mary had been working in Oak Ridge for almost a year and assured June there were plenty of good jobs for the taking. Her sister lived in a house with five other young women. There was no room for June at the moment, so she was going to have to live in a dormitory. June didn't really mind, though. Mary got on her nerves more than ever now that she was going steady with a sergeant. A tall fence topped with barbed wire ran along the road, and June could see buildings beyond it in the distance. A sign in front of the fence read, "Military Reservation, No Trespassing." The bus slowed and finally stopped, stuck behind traffic. She craned her neck to see out the front. The cars were stopped at a large gate and lookout tower, where a soldier stood holding a rifle. They sat in traffic for 20 minutes. Once through the gate, the bus wound past endless neighborhoods of houses and trailers, all newly built. She couldn't believe that this was the same land on which her grandfather had lived. It was a large town now, an expanse of buildings and homes that went on as far as she could see. Some neighborhoods were obviously not yet finished. An entire subdivision was made up of only chimneys, which would presumably become whole houses one day. And another was filled with tiny aluminum trailers. The cars on the road kicked up clouds of dust, which seemed to have landed on everything in sight. The bus drove into a business area, with various shops and people coming and going, waiting in lines, young girls, soldiers in uniform, and workmen in plain clothes. It was startling these days to see so many young men in one place. When the bus driver dropped them off in front of a large white building, he announced, "All new employees report to the front desk." She was in the right place. June was sent to a place called the Bullpen, the training center, where new employees had to wait while their security clearances came through. A throng of other girls sat in a white-walled room with a blackboard at the front, where a tall man in a gray suit took roll, just as in school, and handed out a general information bulletin to them. "You are now a resident of Oak Ridge," it read, "situated within a restricted military area. What you do here, what you see here, what you hear here, let it stay here."
"Welcome to Oak Ridge," said the man. "You are all going to be working at one of our plants here on an essential wartime project. We are going to train you, but we cannot tell you what you are working on. It is a matter of national security. But I promise you, ladies, that it is of the utmost importance. If our enemies succeed in this endeavor before we do, God have mercy on all of us."
The man's tone softened.
"You will work 6 days a week, 10-hour shifts with an hour lunch break. Shifts will rotate around the clock. It will be hard work, but you can rest easy at night, knowing that you are helping to bring an end to the war."
He passed around a drawing of some kind of a machine with knobs, meters, and levers. None of it meant anything to June.
"This is a drawing of the machines you will be operating. The machines may look confusing, but your job is very simple."
A stern man in army uniform came in. He walked quickly to the front of the room and began talking.
I'm going to tell you a story about a girl who was working here at Oak Ridge. She knew she wasn't supposed to tell anyone about what she was doing here, but she decided to write a letter home to her mother describing what the town looks like. She mentioned how many dormitories there were, how many houses she supposed had been built in the last month, how many cafeterias there were.